Pickaxe.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the Triforce Podcast. It's been a little while. Last week I was up and ready, but PFLAX didn't realise we were doing it, so he was streaming.
Sorry.
And Sips was up till 3 a.m. streaming last night for some obscure reason, and he only just woke up now, so he's a bit of a zombie.
Yeah.
What a mess. Empyrean's been busy.
I've been away. Yeah, we've Empyrean all been
celebrated
away.
A birthday, actually. I don't know if you're aware, but he's now 25 years old. So congratulations, Flax.
Thank you.
Congratulations, getting over that hump.
Yeah, the mid-20s hump.
Yeah.
The mid-20s lull, they call
That's
it.
That's the lull, yeah.
What a hump it was.
Happy birthday if that's actually true.
It was last week, I think.
It was on Thursday when we were meant to
it
do
was
the
Thursday
Triforce.
It was Thursday last week.
He decided to treat himself to a birthday stream instead.
Birthday streaming, yeah.
You two have been streaming like no one's business. It's been ridiculous. You guys have been hitting it so hard.
I hit it so hard. I got a green screen and a new light. Like I went all out.
Fuck.
Trying to go professional.
Yeah, nice.
You've done that. I've done that. But I have no room in my office, so it's super cramped in here now with the green screen and the light. But yeah, it's good. The next thing I want to get is some cool transitions. Because my buddy, you know Munticus, right? So my buddy Munt, he streams. He's got these cool transition effects and videos and stuff. And I was like, oh shit, I've got to get that.
Are you going to do like Dr. Disrespect and have like a room that you go to and you can dance around when you do a win and stuff like that?
Oh man, no, because I'd never use it. But what I am going to get is, you know the old Batman? I want to get one like that, but with my face. So zoom in and out, which I think would be funny. I've messaged Sam to see if he can help me out.
You won't need to now. Anyone listening to this next week or whatever is probably like on it straight away, like making one for you. So you're going to be all set. You'll be all set.
Yeah, there'll be a thread on Reddit with people just making stuff. That's what it's like. You know, you just source it from your audience.
Well, that's right. Yeah, but I don't want to do it. I want to pay people. Like I don't want free labor is wrong.
I don't know. I got a lot of time for free labor. I think it's great.
Yeah,
you guys are part of the problem.
Why do you think he's got kids? Oh, hang on, you've got kids as well.
Yeah,
exactly.
You got older kids too. They can do more.
You put them to work all the time, right?
Yeah,
they probably know actually how to sew a wallet. Mine don't.
Bring me my slippers and pipe.
I do get them to pass me things. I realize that's why.
Get down that coal mine. That coal isn't going to mine itself.
This stitching is too far apart. Our customers will be furious.
Nobody will buy these soccer balls, you ingrates.
Exactly.
So, fuck, I've been away to LA and San Francisco where I met Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you got to meet him, man. Did he throw up on a donut while you were talking to him at all? Or those are my lasting impressions of Jeff Goldblum. That's all I can see every time
threw
the guy's
up on
name
a donut.
Is mentioned.
Yeah, oh, in the fly. God.
That was very strange.
He seemed like an unusual fellow.
He was, but I think anyone of his kind of fame, just being like there for 6 hours, just having to talk to weird fans for 15 minutes apiece, you know, kind of by contract. You know, he's obviously sort of these standard Hollywood contracts where it's like, yeah, Jeff, we're going to pay you, but we're going to need you to do a day of promotion. Is that all right? It's like, oh, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh, yes.
And then, you know, so he sat there going slowly mad with all these people asking him dumb questions the whole time. But no, he was like super, super nice about it.
Well,
you know,
that's
it wasn't...
good. Some of them are awkward. You know, some of them when they have to do the paid promotional stuff, they're just kind of awkward people to begin with. And there's lots of like long silences or they just won't answer certain
Bruce
questions.
Bruce Willis
and stuff.
Is very bad at that. There are lots of videos of Bruce Willis refusing to answer questions. Sean
Robert
Penn,
De Niro, too.
De Niro,
Robert De Niro
yeah,
was pretty
guys.
Bad.
With, the thing is, that. That I, what I don't understand is they surely have to understand it's part of the gig because you've got to promote things if you're working on them. Otherwise, what's the point? You can't just do the work and be like, fuck that fucking stupid movie. I don't fucking care if you watch
it. I think it's like a street cred thing, though. It's like an X Factor thing. I think they kind of do it a bit on purpose to seem like more mysterious and aloof and stuff, you know? Like they think that people or certain people will think that they're cooler because they do that.
Maybe.
For instance, I would be that way because, you know, I'm... I'm famous, like Bruce Willis dickhead. In so many ways. So
bold, an action hero. Yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
Balding. Yeah, or almost.
Oh, I forgot you have hair. I always think of you as a fellow baldman because you're a fellow dad. But you're right, we differ in that respect.
Not really, though. Like I'm starting to lose it all over again.
It's
so.
Such a traumatic experience. You know, you just go in the shower and it's all in your hands. You're like, what?
Mother Nature is just fucking me so hard. Also, Weezer. I don't know if you've ever seen Weezer interviewed before. Like, I know they're musicians, but again, really awkward responses to questions, long awkward silences.
Right.
Worth watching though. It's very funny. Like that. I think they kind of do it on purpose, but it's pretty entertaining. Like in itself,
there is a very funny YouTube interview with Billy Bob Thornton. Because, you know, he's an actor, right? But he also, like a lot of these stupid actors, he decides to be a musician as well, even though they're very bad. So there's
yes.
an interview.
Well, this is what Jeff was saying. He kept talking about his jazz band the whole fucking time.
Yeah, they love it.
He's like, you gotta come and see me play jazz. I'm not really an actor. You know, I really play jazz. That's what I do.
I think it's because it's their thing and it's like new. So if you're an actor, I guess, if you're not filming a movie, you've got a lot of spare time. So, I mean, I know that some actors, like Steve Martin, he's a very, very accomplished banjo picker, right? Like,
yeah,
very,
right,
very
yeah.
good.
Acting's yeah. what I do, but music's what I love.
Yeah, that seems to be the attitude. I mean, Jared Leto's got a band, I think.
Steven Seagal has like a whole
yeah.
fucking menagerie of song genres and styles. Like,
it's
I
Joe
think he's
Pesci.
Got.
As
Joe
well.
Pesci's got yeah. an album. Yeah, that's
but
like
it also
an old
is
one.
A very American thing, though, right? With regard to the way they are trained, right? So American sort of actor training takes into account all of this stuff, dancing,
yeah,
singing,
the whole
shebang.
Yeah.
Whereas English actor training, you don't tend to see many English actors necessarily become musicians. But maybe you do. Maybe there are more.
Well,
than
I think in America you're more sort of destined for things like Broadway and stuff. Whereas in England, you might end up in theater and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a different culture in that sense.
Do you reckon it's like a kind of just, I mean, because even what was his name, Christopher Lee, was in like that heavy metal outfit, wasn't he, or whatever, where he did death metal. Am I getting very mixed up
was
here?
Was that
maybe,
on Eurovision, the guys that dressed up as orcs?
I'm more thinking, do they get invited
to do stuff?
He was
like their road manager.
And it's an easy one to say yes to. You know, do you reckon that that's it? Or do you reckon that they actually... But then again, there's like it's an artistic thing as well. You see tons of famous people doing art and selling
Jim Carrey,
it on. Like, doesn't
art.
George Bush do some stupid
yeah,
art?
Yeah, he does painting.
Well, actually, his were like pretty good, I think.
George Bush, which, senior or George
Junior,
W?
W.
Yeah. I think he's done some.
I seem to think he did was either some line dancing or maybe he was in a band or something as well. I'm pretty sure.
I mean,
sure.
Bill Clinton played the saxophone, of course.
That's right, yeah.
Lots of people have a second sort of skill.
Right.
But I think for most people, what would just be an amateur thing, like, I, you know, I've got mates who play musical instruments and they're okay, but they're not in a band. They're never going to be famous. But if you say Joe Pesci wants to record a record, people are like, well, we can sell that. It doesn't need to be very good. So the barrier to entry for them is lower by dint of their fame. I don't think it necessarily translates into them having any talent.
Yeah, I guess that's why these guys are big time and I'm not. Because, like, I'm thinking about it right now. I can't think of anything that I'm like, actually even decent at.
No, I'm not even good at video games, and that's all I do.
I know, same.
Well, exactly. So, I mean, I'm fucking awful at everything I do. Like, I'm just a ham-handed
dumbass. You can't even
dumbass.
Say ham-handed. That's how ham-handed it is.
You can't
like,
even speak.
I burn everything I try and cook. I mean, even when I did chemistry, I fucking fucked up everything I tried to make in a chemistry lab. I mean, yeah. I pretend that I wasn't absolutely awful for, you know, just in case I one day have to find a job in it again. But no, I was I was trash. Like, I've been trying to paint little miniatures and I'm like cack-handed as heck. Like, I'm at home doing, I do some like painting and stuff, right? And honestly, your kid, Sips, who is 5 now, has way more talent than I do at like drawing.
Correction,
stuff.
He's actually 6 now.
Is he 6 now? Holy
That's
shit.
Probably why he's way better at drawing. Yeah,
I
that,
see.
That 1 year makes a huge difference.
Congrats.
He ages so fast. Oh yeah, my God.
Six, every year. Yeah. It's crazy.
I sent him a letter with a bit of my draw. I drew something in it.
Yeah,
did you,
yeah,
have you seen
yeah,
that?
We got it. I haven't seen it. I remember the letter coming through and him being excited, but I didn't actually see what was inside. So hopefully not cutouts from a Playboy or anything yet. He's still young.
Oh, shit. Was I not supposed to?
No,
was the one I sent for you. That's the one I sent for you.
Plus,
I saw some of the Playboys and I was like, Sips will like these.
I saw Playboys while I was away.
I remember.
Yeah, I've been all around the world and I bought many Playboys in my travels.
I saw a Playboy when I was about 7 years old. At my friend's house, his dad just had one in the bathroom, which is a classy move, I think.
That's a very 80s thing, though. I'm pretty sure anyone who was born in the early 80s saw a Playboy before the age of 10. Like, they were laying around everywhere back then.
It was unbelievable. Everybody was
a manual worker that didn't respect their wives and they just left Playboys lying around everywhere in the 80s. That's what we grew up with.
But if I was in Playboy, I'd be terrible. If I had to write for Playboy, I'd be terrible. I feel like everything I try and put my hand to, I would be terrible at.
I think
I'd be a pretty good Playboy
I don't
writer.
Care. I'm used to
right,
it now.
But I just want to point out
she
something.
She gently caressed his red-hot love pump.
Oof. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
His throbbing.
Well, think about this, Lewis. Are you in the office right now? Were you at home?
Yes, I am.
You're in the office.
Stood here.
So,
stood. I've got a standing
look around
desk.
That office, right? And you tell me that you're not good at something, my friend, because you've managed to put that shit together, huh?
I'm currently looking around, right? And I've got fucking like 10 unpainted Warhammer models, which I gave up on painting because I was like so embarrassed how bad I was. I've got a box full of dice that I was planning on casting into resin that I gave up on because I don't know how to do it. And I tried to follow a thing and I just ended up like scraping the layer off my table. And then, you know, I was doing some painting and everything I did I sort of hated. And so I don't know, I'm like, I'm just a bit, I'm not down on myself. I'm just like, I feel like I'm looking at my hands and I'm like, these hands, they just don't do what I want them to do. I want to just be able to do stuff like it's the internet, you know, or like I've got some. Maybe I just need to follow more YouTube tutorials.
You should be down on yourself for the simple fact that those are some nerdy ass endeavors. Like, you should, you need to broaden your horizons. Seriously, you got to get out
of
that rut.
My goal, sorry, wasn't to bench press 100 pounds.
No,
whatever.
Not even that.
Maybe I should do that.
Maybe just
do my next one. That's not that heavy.
Go see a live music show, Lewis. That's what you need. That's the spice that you need in your life right now. Go and see a live musical band. What was the last live musical band you went to see?
I don't know. Hang on, I'm just looking up bench pressing 100 pounds. How long does it take to learn to bench press 100 pounds? I think it's pretty...
I don't think 100 pounds is that much, honestly.
You don't have to learn. You just got to work your way up to it. It's what your muscles can handle, right? You don't want
to... 2 to 3 months, it says.
You don't want to overbench.
Maybe I've forgotten how much 100 pounds weighs.
Quite a lot. It's like the goal of like... It's like one of the goals of where you know you've like reached like a kind of decent...
Does thinking about it now, it does sound
like
quite
like
muscle
mass. It's like a tenth of your mother's weight.
Yeah. can you bench press your mother?
Such a cheap shot.
I know.
Your mom.
Fucking retard.
Oh, man.
So, no, George Bush's art has been praised by an art critic as being surprisingly sophisticated and warm.
Right.
So he put out a book. This happened relatively recently, and I heard about it, and I just thought, damn, what a guy. You know, and it's weird that nowadays we think of George Bush as quite a nice fella. You know?
Yeah, he was the enemy of a lot of, you know, he was like seen as like, oh, well, look at this moron. But now, I mean, holy moly, by comparison, the guy was like
comparison.
A president.
He was like an angel.
He was an actual president, for Christ's
sake.
This
guy condemned people to death as well, right? Like, I know he didn't actually kill them himself, but he did sort of sign off to say, yes, kill these people.
He went off and strangled them one by one.
Well, he might as well have, you know.
And he was painting in the other hand while he
could?
Did so.
Do you reckon he has the power to actually get in there and fucking
He's got very small hands.
Have you watched House of Cards yet?
Yeah, I've stopped on the most recent series because it started getting boring. Every episode was getting very samey.
So what, sorry, is there a new series that came out when?
No, I just like on the topic of presidents strangling people and stuff. Like that show covers all of that.
That was very shocking.
They did
scene.
Say they were going to do a sixth season without Spacey.
Yeah, no Spacey. Actually. Because, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that. Honestly, I think like I'm done with that show if that's the case.
Yeah, for real. For real.
I can't handle the break in immersion or like the change of pace. I don't think the other actors are good enough to carry it either.
It's like carrying on Taggart without Taggart.
Yeah, Taggart without Taggart is weird. Like Morse carried on without Morse, didn't it?
It's just like Bergerac without Bergerac. You imagine that?
Exactly.
Fuck.
Well, Midsommar Murders without Bergerac.
Yeah. God damn.
I'm up for just something new. I mean, they don't need to try and carry on making it. It's like it was all right.
I've been going hard on TV recently. I've caught up with Vikings, all of Vikings, which I thought was amazing. It was so good.
It was good.
And I also just finished watching season one of Westworld, which I went into knowing nothing about. I didn't know a thing about the show. I didn't know what
You're quite late on that one, because that was good. That was quite a while ago.
Yeah,
as well.
I enjoyed it. About halfway through, I lost interest a bit, and I thought it was a bit dumb. Hmm. And then it sort of picked up again, sort of like episode 7.
It was
seven.
Too many episodes, but because the nature of it is very repetitive, as you find out when you watch it, why. But it's like, I don't need this. Like, there were three or four episodes they could have done without. I watched a show called The Sinner on Netflix.
Right. Yes, I watched that. I've
very, very
about
good.
It.
I enjoyed it a lot. It was a good mystery
the
kind
Sinner.
Of
The Sinner, okay.
Murder.
I might save that one. We got a trip coming up at the end of the month, so.
It's only eight episodes. And so they're tight episodes, good characters, great acting. And I was like, this is what I want. Like, I don't want 23 episodes where most of it is filler. It's just boring. Yeah.
I liked Mindhunter. That was great.
Yeah, that was good.
Mindhunter was really good. There's a lot of good stuff. Honestly, like sometimes it's difficult to find.
True Detective season one was awesome as well.
Yes, Holy True Detective shit. Season one was fantastic. What a show.
So let's talk about the trips we've had and the things we've been away and done. Because you've been away again, haven't you, PFLAC, somewhere?
Yeah.
Where did you go?
I went to Stockholm for Dream League, which is a Dota tournament. I went out there. That was a lot of fun. I loved
it. Did you cast it?
No, I was the co-host. So Shiva was the host and I was the co-host, the cocoa host.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun. I mean, Dream League it's a really nice, tournament. It's very relaxed. There was a lot of fun. And
so you were on the main desk, were you, with Shiva just kind of introducing the games?
Sheeps had the desk and then I was on the couch. I was like the Andy Richter to her Conan O'Brien. For anyone that knows that show.
Right. So yes, I was like, perfect analogy. Isn't he like kind of bald?
I'm bald, yeah. And, a little chubby. And he's very tall and thin. So it was like perfect combo. So that was what I did. I was there for like a week, which was great. I got terrible food poisoning one day, but that was fine. So I missed a whole
day. Just for a day?
Yeah. It was literally, I went out to eat. I came back to the hotel. I watched the movie, what's it called? It's got Natalie Portman in. Annihilation, it's called.
Black Swan. Oh.
Not Black Swan, Annihilation. It's good.
Is it good? Okay. Yeah. I heard mixed things.
Yeah, it's good. I enjoyed it.
That's on Netflix, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So I started
getting horribly sick right then and there. Like, I was like, I felt, God, I don't feel right.
Maybe I was violently ill
for several hours, and I would try to go to sleep and wake up again and be sick, and I was like, this is the worst thing. So I called it a day.
So you missed a day?
Yeah, I missed the whole day. But I was fine after that. But yeah, but it was okay. So
what did they do? How did they replace you? Did they just put a blow-up doll on the seat? Just sort of
they had a coconut lying around. They just stuck that down.
They made a Muppet version of you like they did that one time.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, I liked day two. It was really funny and great. But that guy they brought in on day three, I don't know about it.
He
looked a bit peaky around the gills.
So I did that, and then my dad's over from Florida for the week. So we've been hanging out, and we're going to go into London today.
Ooh.
For my special big meeting.
What do you mean, special big meeting?
I have a big meeting.
You always tell us about these big meetings, these big old big shot things that old big old PFLAC is doing.
PFLAC, right? Only Lewis is allowed to be a big
be
shot, okay?
Some crappy quiz show with Toby Wan and Traction Slacks and Mousy or whatever. And you're like, oh, big fucking whoop. You know, deal. Oh, big ball of big balls PFLAC. Fucking having his big meetings.
He's got big balls, baby.
Do you want to hear about the meeting?
Yeah.
I'd love to.
So,
if we're allowed to hear.
Yeah, no, it's I'm meeting some people at the government who are in charge of digital stuff.
Right.
And
fuck me.
They want to understand how to make esports better in the UK. Because we've got,
of course they
we've
do.
Got two big esports events coming this year. One in Birmingham in May, the first Dota major in the UK, which is going to be fantastic. I'm going to that. And then in Birmingham, yeah, which is a really good choice for a number of reasons, mainly because London didn't give a shit when they asked London, like they, you know, the people of, not the people of London, not like a street poll, but like whoever's in charge, you know, the mayor and all his cronies or whatever.
Right.
They were like, whatever. Whereas when they asked the mayor of Birmingham, he was like, holy shit! And he did like this big announcement. He was like, first we got the Commonwealth Games, and now we've got this Dota Major. Birmingham's on the way up. Oh my God. Like, they were super hyped. And the arena that they've got is fucking huge. Absolutely massive. They sold, nice. It was the fastest selling ESL event, all the rest of it. Like, the UK market is super hungry for us to actually have some events. So that's good. So I'm going to that.
So are the government going to pay you for this consultation?
No. I mean, the thing is, the guy doing it is a friend
flex.
Of mine. The guy in charge of
are
it
you doing
is a friend
it
of mine.
Like the Ritz?
No. This is at, I'm going there, I'm going tea? To the government offices, like Parliament Street and all the rest of it. Like,
oh, flex.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So I'm going down
gotta,
there to meet
gotta
with them.
You've got to say that you're not going to be part of their system unless they pay you.
We live in a capitalist society, flex. Look, you know, this is a day you could be streaming.
This is for the good of my people. British esports fans, and
okay,
but what about the good of your bank account as well, though? Like, time is money, friend.
You know what? This is why you don't get the big meetings, lads.
That's true. You know, it's true.
So me and Sips are off to a very big meeting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Flex. It's a bigger meeting than yours, actually. It's much bigger, and it's going to be much more interesting as well.
Well, I think we can mention this. So basically,
I don't know if we can, Lewis. It is actually meant to be top secret. All we can tell you, Flex, you could put two and two together, is that we've been invited to Seattle for 8 days. Okay.
Oh, I know what this is then.
Yeah.
So I was at GDC. With Terps, and we went off for a week, and the whole point really was just that I was already in America. GDC is a lot of fun, and I was looking forward to just seeing a few games, but also saying thank you to a lot of people who gave their games to the Jingle Jam, and also tell people about the Jingle Jam. That's kind of the whole point, just to drum up a bit of.
And did you get
PR.
Paid for
also,
this?
It's a capitalist society, man.
I think we will, though, through, like,
I'm only
in
joking.
The end.
Go on.
We spoke to a lot of people, and occasionally people would just sort of book meetings with us. And there was this one meeting from this group, and this guy who was speaking to us, and I realised he was only speaking to me because he was a massive fucking Sips fan.
Oh,
and he was like,
baby.
He was like, but he was very subtle about it, very secretive.
Right.
You know, he was like, so do you get to hang out with Sips much? Kind of thing, like, Jimmy, like stuff like this. Super gushy Sips fan. And I realised that he was like, just, anyway, we had a nice chat. He was very, very, very smart. And, well, maybe we'll talk about it on a future podcast when we get back. But certainly we're heading out to Seattle to meet a games company to talk to them about their upcoming games, which actually, PFLAX,
Microsoft
you, know, you
game
probably
Studios.
Already fucking know about all of the games from Microsoft Game Studios because you get to hang out with all these guys on a fucking weekly basis anyway.
Wait,
and it's probably
Microsoft?
Nothing special to you.
No,
yeah, Microsoft Game Studios, that's right.
I thought it was a good games company in Seattle.
No, it is. I don't even think Microsoft Game Studios are based in Seattle, are they?
I don't even know they exist, do they?
Well, who knows? They maybe that's who knows.
Yeah, so we're going to see a Seattle-based games developer, publisher, self-publisher. They also own a really, really popular digital distribution platform as well. So
we're already friends. I mean, GOG, yeah, they're good guys. They opened up. They came over. Anyway, look, let's move on from that. So GDC in San Francisco. I had a few things I wanted to say about it. So it was a strange event for you guys if you don't know and didn't watch like the vlog where I talked a bit about it. Nothing happens in the convention center. It is like a big convention center with all of the stands and stalls and show off things. A little bit like a mini E3 kind of thing, where, you know, it's a lot of adverts in there. A lot of people, you know, it feels like almost like it's got this consumer-y section to it, with where you can literally, there's kids playing Fortnite in the middle of it, you know,
right.
A big section of that. And there's because Fortnite is the new kids game, by the way. It's the new Minecraft. Just FYI, if no one's watched it out there, but the Fortnite's going to keep to the moon. It's huge. It's going to be the next. next massive thing. Just saying.
Should I gonna start playing that now?
You've already missed the boat. It's gone. You know, Ninja's already covered that anyway. But Doctor Disrespect's going to be changing over to Fortnite.
Oh wow!
Because you know,
wow,
the new one.
How do you know all this?
Not true. This is bollocks. Oh. I made that up. could you imagine? I think he could pull it off, honestly. Anyway,
people aren't watching for the game. They're watching for the guy.
What are you actually talking about right now? I'm lost.
So GDC is this big event, and we go and all, but no one wants to pay for floor space at GDC because it's super expensive.
Right.
So instead, they rent out a hotel room nearby, and you go to the hotel room, and they've got like some snacks in there, and you sit on the bed, and they've got like a Nintendo Switch plugged into the TV of the hotel room, and they show you their game that they're making, right? And some of them are really cool, and some of them are really interesting, and some of them are rubbish, and you have to sit there for an hour while they tell you about their terrible fucking game,
yeah.
And you're like, oh god, they're the nicest people, and they know that this game is a fucking garbage, and we're never gonna play it, and we're completely the wrong audience, but. Oh, thank God there's like a fucking beer that they brought from the country they came from or whatever.
I went to Gamescom one year and Paradox had a similar setup where they didn't want to get floor space or they couldn't get floor space at Gamescom. So they just basically had like a whole floor of a hotel booked out nearby and we had to drive over there. And it was the same. Like, I think we were looking at Cities in Motion at the time. Cities in Motion 2 was coming out, and Europa Universalis 4 was coming out, and they were demoing them. And we were just sitting in this hotel room on a bed with like five or six developers and watching these games, and it was kind of weird,
so
actually.
It's so ghetto.
It's, like, kind of, sometimes it's very strange being in a hotel room with more than just like yourself or like your...
Yeah.
It is, and it's slightly creepy too. Yeah. Like, sometimes you go into this darkened hotel room down the end of a corridor that's really dingy, and there'd be like two creepy old men sat in the corner, you know, and then like three other men like there kind of hanging around, and it's like, this is quite...
There's always a dude
men in this room
sitting next to a very bright light drinking like a Coke or something. You notice that?
In the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I always find in those kind of situations, you'll sit on a chair and someone you don't know very well will perch on the arm of the chair awkwardly.
Yeah, yes.
That too, yeah.
So desperate for a place to sit.
Yes.
That's super awkward. I always just say, oh, here, please sit down and try and get out of there as quick as possible.
Or you come into the room and they've clearly been sitting in the chair and they're like, oh, go on, you take the chair. And I'm like, well,
how old do you
think
I am?
I guess. And then they get there because there's only like two chairs in this fucking room.
Yeah. So anyway. It was such a surreal experience though, doing that. But looking back now too, I didn't fully appreciate it because I wasn't massively into Paradox games back then. So when they invited us, I was like, you know, I'd heard of a couple of grand strategy games, but I never played any of them.
Right.
So for me, Paradox wasn't, you know, this, you know, like a big sort of like highlight on my radar or anything, you know. It was just like, yeah, okay, sure, I'll go to that. Like Cities in Motion 2 seems kind of cool sort of thing. And now, like if they would have given me like that access and invited me today, I would be shitting my pants, like, because like I really like all of their games now, and I play them all quite a bit, so it'd be like a totally different experience. But I mean, that was back in like 2011, I think, 2012.
God,
quite a long time ago.
So GDC, right? So it's in San Francisco. Now we went there. Me and Simon went there back in, I think it was a long time ago. I think back in like 2011 or so, or maybe I can't remember. And also, I went with Duncan and Shin, anyway, it's certainly a bunch of us, and we walked around San Francisco and we made a vlog of it back in the day, and I can't really even remember where that vlog is. Anyway, there was this moment where we are walking across the road to the conference center, and there's this crazy homeless guy there, like yelling like nuts, crazy, the craziest stuff, like the most racist stuff and the most anti-religious but also religious stuff. You know, it's like he's contradicting himself in the same sentence.
Did you point that out to him?
Well, no, of course I didn't, because he's insane.
Excuse me, but you've contradicted yourself there, my good fellow, now.
But everyone there is just... So he's just... There's this whole crowd of... I remember this because it's exactly the same thing happened to me this year. Like, there's this huge crowd of nerds and us and Terps, and we got the camera out and we're thinking about vlogging and stuff, and there's other people doing it around us, and then we're all waiting for this big crossing to happen. And while we're all happening, it's the same... I reckon it's the same crazy homeless guy yelling the same craziest shit, except even worse this year, You know, just about like the worst stuff you can possibly imagine. and we walk across, and I wanted to mention this really in the Travels podcast because it's been burning a hole in my memory.
Right,
like just how much worse the homeless problem is. From,
it's disastrous in America.
From back when we saw it in, I mean, it was bad. Well, it's always been bad in San Francisco.
Is this in relation to the Trump administration? Is this what you're saying? You think it's worse now?
I don't think it's anything to do with that. I just don't know what it's to do with. But I don't know who's responsible. I just feel like I wanted to bring it up because like it was weird and unexpected. And I think like so the first thing that happened to me was that I got to San Francisco and I was on my own. And there's a couple of homeless guys in Bristol that I walk past kind of a couple of times a day, right? So, and they're always in their same sort of spots usually. And some of them are, a couple of them got, obviously, a couple of them, they change from time to time. But there's a couple of like big issue sellers. And I've bought the big issue off this guy a couple of times because I just sometimes actually have change in my pocket, but mostly I don't. Anyway, I nod to them every morning. I'm polite. And I'm always like, the funny thing is that when I walk past homeless people in England, anyway, I'm always going to acknowledge them, right? I'm always going to be like, hey, sorry, friend, I don't have any change, or like morning or whatever, like something polite to acknowledge that they're there, right? Especially if they talk to me. If they say, you know, have you got any change? I say no, right? I'm never going to like just blankly walk past a homeless guy,
in America,
right? Because that's just...
Yeah, there's no interaction.
Whereas in America, I fucked up by doing that, right? Badly. The first guy that talked to me, like he came up to me. Basically, I was about to walk across this crossing and this homeless guy came up to me and he put his hand on my shoulder and said, don't do that. And I was like, oh, how are you doing? And I turned around kind of thing. He was basically wearing like a brand... He was clearly a homeless guy because his face was all like fucked
all
up
homeless-y.
And tired and like homeless-y and dirty. But he had brand new clothes on. Right, like a brand, and you, like a brand new hat with the sticker on it, you know, like a baseball cap, brand new T-shirt, like brand new jacket, like brand new trousers, brand new trainers. I was like, oh, nice trainers, and he like as a kind of just notice, and he was like, oh, you don't want to see my feet under these, mate. And I was like, oh, fucking hell. Anyway, and so the kind of I was like, you know, I haven't got any change. I'm sorry. And he's like, well, I don't need you to give me some change. I just need you to buy me some chicken. I really like this chicken. And I was like, what do you mean? And he sort of points down the street and he's like, there's a KFC down here. You know, can you buy me some chicken then if you haven't got any change? And I'm like, well, I'd love to help, mate, but I'm not going to go and walk down that weird alleyway with you and go get some chicken kind of thing. And meanwhile, the thing is like the lights have changed. So I'm stuck now. You know, talking to this fucking guy at the lights. Anyway, the conversation goes back and forth, and eventually I'm like, fuck it. I'm okay. I fucking dash across the road and I get out of there. But it was like this kind of stressful homeless interaction that started a chain of homeless interactions that I had for some fucking reason over the course of San Francisco. There were a bunch of weird fucking interactions. So that was the first one, and I told everyone about it, and they were like, that's weird, nothing ever happens to me like that.
Yeah, well, most people stick to the rules, though. Don't make eye contact, walk by, mumble a little bit if you have to, and just get on with it, because you don't want to get cornered by somebody who's going to try to convince you to go buy him chicken and stuff like that. That sounds dangerous. Like,
I mean, I've asked you to buy me chicken and you said no, and you know me, so why would you?
No, I didn't feel comfortable then either. I mean, I still like buying chicken for people.
It was most of the week was spent pouring with rain, which I felt like was pretty rough. And I'm not gonna sort of judge these homeless people because they have a tough fucking situation, especially when it's pouring with rain. And I walked past like a couple of people, and one thing I noticed was that I saw about three women, homeless women, which is kind of unusual to see, who also had a baby with them, or a very young child.
Yeah,
and they were on the street, kind of half begging and half saying, "Oh, have you got any? Can you spare some food for my baby or food for my dog?" In a couple of cases, and I was like, I was just blown away by the amount of kind of sort of hopelessness that they had, or kind of mental illness that was attached to them.
Yeah.
There was this moment where I was in an Uber driving back from where Hat Films was staying about 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night, and it was pouring with rain, and the car stopped at this junction, and it was not wasn't too busy on the road, and I looked to my right and there was like a homeless woman on the side of the road standing there like the fucking movie The Ring, okay? Like where the wet woman comes out of the car, and she was walking across the road towards the car, right? And I obviously like fucking looked out the window, and she like fucking just slowly walked all the way up to the car window and put a fucking hand on the window of the passenger side, like the fucking most terrifying apparition of a zombie you've ever fucking seen.
God,
and then the car fucking, the Uber driver drove off and he was like, haha, drunk people in San Francisco, right? And I'm like, well, what the fuck just happened? Do you know what I mean? Like, it was terrifying.
What the hell? You know, why are you such a magnet for this weird stuff to happen?
That was,
what
are you, I know. Who does that happen to?
Are you making eye contact? Like, what?
I was trying not to.
You have to be doing something wrong.
I'm like nervously looking, like, as she approaches. I was fucking, it was like a horror movie. Anyway, that was the thing that happened.
It's such a, it's so sad, the whole thing though, isn't it? Like, with when you see a homeless person, it you feel, I don't know about you guys, but I always feel like really, I always feel really helpless because on the one hand, you feel like, yeah, you know, I should do something. I should help in some way, or I should be compassionate or whatever. But on the other hand, it's totally wrong for that responsibility to be put on one person, especially when you like consider like the scope of the issues that that person must have to wind up sort of homeless on the streets. Begging, you know, like I'm not a qualified therapist. I can't help this person in any meaningful way other than just like parting with some money or whatever. I don't know if that's actually really helping them or if it's just making the problem worse somehow in the end or whatever.
Exactly. I don't know either, but it's such a
like frontline breakdown of society, isn't it? When you see a lot of homeless people and all of their problems and the fact that their problems cannot be dealt with for whatever reason.
I think my favorite part of this is that Lewis was spoken to by a man and a woman touched the car he was in and he says it's like a horror movie. Yeah,
it was like a zombie apocalypse because it was pouring down, and she was like in a fucking. I don't think she was in a nightdress particularly. Do you know what I mean? But do you know what I mean? It was like kind of. She was like a shambling apparition in the dark. It was terrifying. P-flax. Honest. Well, it wasn't terrifying. I was fine with it. I was a little bit unnerved. So I was a little bit weird.
It was like a horror movie. He asked me to buy him chicken.
Calm down, sir.
This person wanted a social interaction with me.
No, but it was almost both interactions of those two interactions. And here's the third interaction. I'll tell you that as well.
Okay. I couldn't even emote.
They're all weird because of the difference. Like the fact that because of the anachronisms, right? It's because that homeless guy was wearing a full set of brand new clothes, right? That were clearly brand new, right? And then this woman was so soaking wet and didn't even seem to notice that it was pouring with rain and just did something that was so unusual. So, you know, stepping off the pavement and just walking into the middle of the road. Like, it was so different to what I'm used to that's why it's kind of weird and anachronistic. And here's the third example, right? I'm walking down the street. And obviously, I'm kind of aware that there's homeless people around because there are. Like, I'm walking back from the convention, and first thing I notice is, like, there's just a fucking homeless guy literally with his head in a bin, picking up stuff out of the bin and chucking it out onto the pavement behind him, right? In the middle of, a park, like a really nice, trendy park in the middle of San Francisco, too. So all he's doing is he's going through this bin, chucking the stuff on the floor, ugh, right? And then walk past that, and then there's like, other sort of homeless people around, and, like, mostly there's a couple of guys in wheelchairs, right? But they're like, obviously like not, they're not begging. They're just sort of hanging out together because, you know, you don't have, there's like five guys, a couple of them in wheelchairs, all just homeless clearly, but like, I don't know, trading weed or whatever. They're just hanging out. Then I walk past those and there's like this most hipstery coffee shop in the world. And this incredibly like beautiful tanned blonde woman comes out of the coffee shop with like pouty lips and starts taking selfies of herself outside the coffee shop, right? Of her being at the coffee shop. And she's like taking a selfie and then looking at it on her phone and taking another one, then looking at her phone, taking another one. And she's going, and in this whole process where she's making a pose, she's like leaning forward, pouting, tilting her head, taking a pose, having a picture, brushing her hair back, going through this whole rigmarole of like trying to make the perfect Instagram picture. Right, with these homeless men in the background, kind of just like just slightly out of camera shot. So she's trying to get those out of the camera shot, but also get her and the sunshine and whatever. And while this is all happening, and I'm like amused by this sort of thing, I hear like the rumbling of a skateboard behind me, okay, and turn to see a fucking what is the dirtiest looking homeless guy I've ever seen on a fucking skateboard pelting down the street.
Jesus,
and he yells
Christ
at me. And I quote, "I'm going to eat your rotting corpse, motherfucker." That's what he yelled at me as I looked at him as he skateboarded fucking past me down the street.
He yelled it at the top of his voice.
You made eye contact, didn't you? That's got to be the reason why he yelled that at you.
I turned for a second to see the homeless guy on a skateboard. I mean, this all happened quite quickly, P-Flex. And, you know, it wasn't like a long fucking process.
I think the problem is you must give off a vibe. Like, you have a magnetism, but rather than attracting ferrous
metal.
Were
you wearing a turtleneck at the time?
I mean, that might have I was just wearing my usual fucking... my red jacket, you know, waterproof jacket. I just looked like a normal guy. I wasn't even, like, trendily dressed. I wasn't even, like, dressed up or anything. No. You know, it was just like, a kind of... Just looking like a fucking guy. And man, like, I don't know. I looked into this a lot, right? And I looked it up. And there's a lot of misconceptions with this. Like, because I originally heard this story told to me by a guy that what they would do is they'd get buses in places and bus up all the homeless people and bus them out to San Francisco because San Francisco has the best facilities or the best weather or the best whatever. Like, there's always these kind of like stories that are bandied about why it's a problem and how it's not their problem or that San Francisco in fact is the best place for them to stay and then there's always the other side of the argument that they're all veterans, and then it's the other thing about them all being mentally ill, but there being no way for them to get treatment. And certainly it felt like they were a higher level of mentally ill than I was used to. You know,
I mean,
they were
in
not
the UK,
just...
if you have a mental illness problem, you can go to the NHS, homeless or not. But in America, if you don't have money, you're just going to have to be crazy for the rest of your life. Because how are you going to make enough money? It's like a vicious cycle.
I think,
and then it leads to these problems.
I think they closed a lot of like the sort of state-run mental facilities in the 80s.
They were terrible as well. I remember those hospitals. My mum was like,
"Yeah, there's
you
yeah,
sick,
there's like,
but we're not taking you to so and so hospital." Yeah. Like, it's just...
shock treatment and stuff like that.
The 1880s. That was when I'm talking about, obviously.
Oh, right. I was talking about that.
bring back the
hydrotherapy. The one where they hold you underwater, shock you. We're gonna have to fire these eels up your ass, Mr. Forsyth. Okay.
Don't worry, they're really slippery.
The other thing, I guess, is that it's more of a concentration problem. I think San Francisco is a small, concentrated city, and you know it's all on these hills. But the center area is relatively small. I don't think San Francisco has more homeless people than any other big city per population. But I think that they're more concentrated, and certainly around the areas that I was going, which was the very center. Walking around the convention center, but as a result of walking around the convention center and basically doing laps of the convention center, I was walking around the ferry center, and as a result, I saw a lot of homeless people and had a lot of interactions with them.
I think some cities are probably different to others in the sense that I'm pretty sure in some cities, police officers, especially who are just like on patrol, will move them along, like just sort of like push them along, get them out of like the sort of like densely populated areas where there's like a lot of people walking around and stuff like that. Like it doesn't happen everywhere, but it certainly does happen. Like
it's not like these people are really dangerous.
They're not
in any way.
Do you want to hear
like,
some numbers?
Yeah.
Okay. So in 2017, there were 7,499 homeless people in San Francisco.
Right.
So
is that more or less than when we last went? Because it
when
felt
you went
like
in 2015, there were 7,539 people.
So it's not that much more.
It
really hasn't
changed much. No. It's gone up since 2011. It's gone up by about 1,000. No. So,
well, exactly. I mean, so
39% of them claim mental health issues. 41% have drug or alcohol problems.
Well, that seems like a large percentage.
Over half of them, 55%, have been homeless for a decade or more. So
crazy,
if you didn't have mental health problems before you were homeless, you sure as hell got them now, I'd say.
Well, here's the thing about San Francisco, right, and America in general. Like, I remember going with Simon and there being this kind of, I guess it's almost like the homeless are kind of the part of the background noise of this place, right? Because there was this guy called the world famous Bushman. Do you remember him?
No.
And so it was this guy who basically on the pier front, the front area of San Francisco, on the nice sort of tourist area, he used to get like a frond of bush and hide there on the sidewalk, right? And then when someone walked by, he would push the frond aside, jump out and go and spook the fuck out of them, because he was this terrifying guy in a combat jacket. Like, he looked like a sort of a Rastafarian kind
of. He's been active since 1980, apparently.
Kind of quite dead.
Wow.
Apparently, he's still going. He's still alive. But I think he had like a partner, and the idea is or like a posse. And certainly when we were there, you know,
He spooked the fuck out of Simon, and his partner was like, ha ha ha, he got you good, son. You're going to have to give him something for that. And so Simon, you know, was like, oh, just take all my money, you know.
He
kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like just jumped out of his skin and kind of was like, oh, yeah, you know, here's 10 bucks or whatever. And I think that that's their kind of shtick. But going down San Francisco, I was on my toes, right? I was on my toes for the Bushman leaping out or some sort of, I don't know, some sort of other homeless fucking trick.
You were ready.
I don't know. I was ready and I felt constantly on edge, like I've never felt before in any other city, really. Like, I mean, LA, we don't walk around too much, but when you do, it is a bit dodge, you know, especially down some of the areas and America in general, but not, and London, you have to have your toes, be on your toes a little bit as well. In any big city you do, but never have I felt more like kind of not
under assault.
Entirely relaxed.
Well, the Bushman claims to make about 60 grand a year in a good year. So could you really call him homeless? Would be the question.
Well, exactly. It feels like he's more of a street entertainer.
Yeah, I think that's what he is, yeah. But he's been doing it for 38 years now, the Bushman.
Jesus. I assume he doesn't do it to people with heart conditions.
How does he know? But
does he go, hey, you got a heart condition? No.
You are now entering wild Bushman territory. If you're pregnant, or if you suffer from heart conditions,
if you're in the front row, you will get wet.
Oh God, let me tell you guys about one of the worst experiences of my life that I had.
Go on.
This is not as bad as the homeless thing, but I wanted to kill myself. Okay, this was last weekend.
I'd come back from Sweden.
The scars are still fresh. I'd come back from Sweden. I was ready to stream, just relax, and all the rest of it. Mrs. F says, don't forget, I booked us tickets to go to the ballet. I was like, what do you mean, don't forget? You never told me this. She was like, yeah, I emailed you. So while I was away and busy working, she'd messaged me some shit about how she'd booked some fucking morning at some ballet thing up in London.
Right.
So I hate the ballet. Right, I hate it. I cannot stand anything about it. Every aspect of the ballet, I despise. Like, it is the opposite of entertainment.
Do you have to dress up when you go?
No, this was the kids' ballet.
Do you have to wear a suit or anything?
This was the Swan Lake.
You have to wear one of those poofy dresses and the pointy shoes and just
apparently
pirouette your way there.
No one else was, but I'd been led to believe.
The ballet.
So we go to this theater. It's packed, and I was like, I'll have an aisle seat. I'll just nod off, no problem. Mrs. F has booked us front row center, right? So there's no escape. The performers are looking right at me, and I said to her, so this is going to be like half an hour, 40 minutes. She goes, oh, no, it's an hour and a half. I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
Like, do you get an intermission?
There was an intermission, but that just made it worse because it's like a break.
You know more of it's coming, but you can't leave.
It was so bad. It was the worst fucking thing.
Me.
And she was like crying at the end and the kids were loving it. And people around me were loving it. And I mean, not only did I feel excluded because I hated every second of it and apparently everybody else had a whale of a time, I hated it because I'd been lied to about how long
Daddy,
it was going to be.
Can we come tomorrow
the kids now want to go to the ballet. I was like, if you ever invite me to this shit again without asking me first, I'm leaving you. That's it. I hated it that fucking much.
For these situations, this is where I think Google Glass is the answer. Because then you could just sit there and watch TV on your glasses
it was
and nobody
so
would
bad.
Know.
It was so bad.
That sounds fucking fantastic. I would love that. Google Glass. It sounds like the perfect time to use it. Lectures.
Yeah.
And like sitting on the bus and at the ballet.
Yeah. Watch something super fucking exciting. And then all of the performers think that you're really excited to watch them. But actually, you're just watching something actually interesting on your Google Glasses.
You're like, yes! But play that Firelands portal. Yes.
Oh, it was so bad.
That sounds terrible, Flex.
It was horrible. It was really I feel like such a selfish prick for saying that, but it really did fucking suck. And I really did hate every fucking second.
Life
of it.
Is too short though. You shouldn't have to sit through stuff that
this
you
is
don't
partly
like.
What the fucking Trifles podcast is about, right? It's about you just telling your true feelings about shit that you know you should probably feel slightly differently about.
You're right.
Yeah.
Because those homeless people are having a fucking tough time, but at the same time, it was a bit tough.
Yeah, let's cover what we've discussed today. Homeless people.
Yeah.
Going to the ballet with your family. These are all things.
I had a tough time.
They thought they had it bad. Let me tell you something. An hour and a half of ballet. I wish I was homeless.
Kids,
I wish.
Exactly. So hang on, was it kids ballet? Was it kids doing the ballet?
No, I would eat out of bins for a year instead of go to the ballet.
Well, yeah, thankfully it wasn't a bunch of kids fucking it up. Like it was professional dancers, but and they're also so skinny. Like, I like a woman with a bit of meat on her, you know? They were all just these skinny bitches doing their stupid hippity hop. There's like four moves in ballet. There's like the one where they go up and down a bit on one foot. Then there's the one where they sort of glide a little bit, flapping their arms. They spin around occasionally. And then there's one where they jump a little bit. And they just did that. And I was like, how the fuck, like, without the narration, how the fuck are you meant to know what the fuck is going on? It's ridiculous.
Exactly. Well, anyway, that is all we got time for on Trifles today. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Oh, no, we won't. I'm away next week, guys.
I'm also away next week.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Where are you going, Flax? You going anywhere fun?
Cornwall.
Oh, man. That sounds great.
We'll see if we get a quick podcast in at some point. Yeah. No promises, though. Thanks, everyone. It's good to catch up with
you. Peace out, y'all. Good chat to you, lads.
See you next time.
Bye. Goodbye.